The Greg Kelly Show.
Yeah. Here we are. Here we go. Just getting some textual messages. And, oh, it's very cool. My wife just brought by a check. You know, I haven't written a check in a long time. Venmo and, well, to be honest, she handles the finances in the house. But she brought me a check that has a little stub next to it, you know, and you write the check, and then on the stub, you write whatever the hell it's about. And I just thought it would be interesting to look at one of those things and see it and see that this is, if you fill this out the wrong way, you're in trouble. It's a crime. It is an actual crime. Of course it is not. And I'm looking also through the Michael Cohen. Man, talk about a strange guy. The FBI raided his house on April 9th, and he pleads guilty on April 18th. That doesn't sound like a lot of time. Wait, did he actually? He was indicted on the 18th. And yeah, that's when he entered the guilty plea. And all of this stuff, they try to make it look like it's about Stormy Daniels, but it's actually about all this other stuff. Listen to this. And it goes way back. In March of 2012, pursuant to the loan agreement, Taxi One operator solicited a $2 million personal loan from Michael Cohen, the defendant, so that Taxi Operator One could cover various personal and taxi business related expenses. On April 28th, 2014, Taxi Operator One and his wife entered into a new loan agreement with Cohen, increasing the $2 million loan, the principal of which remained unpaid, to $5 million. Finally, in 2015, Taxi Operator One and his wife entered into an amended loan agreement with Cohen, increasing the principal amount of the loan to $6 million. Michael Cohen is making loans to $6 million, and he couldn't even come up with $130,000 to cover this thing himself without the personal line of what they call it, the home equity loan he had to take out. Each loan was interest only, carried an interest rate in excess of 12%, and was collateralized by either Chicago taxi medallions or property in Florida owned by Taxi Operator One. Cohen funded the majority of his loans to Taxi Operator One from a line of credit with an interest rate of less than 5%. Is he running some sort of weird Ponzi scheme? It goes on and on like this. Pursuant to the terms of the loan agreements between Michael Cohen, the defendant, and Taxi Operator One, Cohen received more than $2.4 million in interest payments from Taxi Operator Number One between 2012 and 2016 and reported none of that income to the IRS. Ooh. Michael, an upstanding guy like you? Cohen intended to hide the income from the IRS in order to evade taxes. How much money was that? $2.4 million? Yeah, that's a lot of cash. As a further part of the scheme to evade paying income taxes, Michael Cohen, the defendant, also concealed more than $1.3 million he received from another taxi operator to whom Cohen leased certain of his New York medallions. This income took two forms. First, Cohen did not report the substantial majority of the bonus payment of at least $870,000, which was made by Taxi Operator 2 in or about 2012 to induce Cohen to allow Taxi Operator 2 to operate certain of Cohen's medallions. It's all about the taxi. He was running some sort of weird Ponzi scheme, tax stuff. This has nothing to do with Trump until the very last thing. And they try to make it look so that the fake news can run around pretending that this is, you know, this related to Stormy Daniels, who's another villain in all this, in my book. Another villain. I don't know. I don't think she slept with him. And even here's something else I love about Trump. He's welcoming to all, you know, he was in the hospitality business, and there's something refreshing and nice and hospitable about a guy who's not afraid to get his picture taken with basically anybody. Come one, come all. Hello. I welcome you. People are like, well, you know, that's Stormy Daniels. Oh, well, there's a picture of the two of them together. Well, you know what? There's a picture of him with Jenna Jameson. Jenna Jameson's possibly one of the most successful porn stars who ever lived. You know who else there's a picture of with Jenna Jameson? Me. I met Jenna Jameson. I actually interviewed her. That didn't mean I was sanctioning her lifestyle or her choices or anything like that. In fact, when I talked to her, she was pretty loaded, it seemed. She was all kind of high, and it was a little bit sad, and that became a news story in and of itself. There's a picture of Donald Trump, I believe, with Mother Teresa, with Billy Graham, with Mike Tyson, with Al Sharpton. Come one, come all. Jesus in the Bible was with everybody. That's one of the reasons why they didn't like him. The Sadducees, remember? And the Pharisees, they were all like, oh, what are you doing with those prostitutes? And what are you doing with those tax collectors? And what are you doing with those miscreants over there? And he said, I am not here to cure the healthy. I'm here to cure the sick, or something like that. And it's beautiful. And if you look at this case like I did the other night, I mean, I made a video and looking at what Trump is going through, and it's right out of the Bible. It's right out of Daniel. And he was forced to go in there with the lions, and they rearranged the law. They rearranged it so that they could get Trump. I think that's in Daniel 6. Let me just find out here. Yep. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And one of them, the three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. All right, so he basically appointed a little staff there to take care of the daily ins and outs and governance of the kingdom. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Well, that made them very jealous. Yes, it did. Right here, back to the Bible. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no such ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of God. So they come up with a new law, just like in the Trump case. They've been coming up with new laws and blowing off their own laws, blowing off the statute of limitations. You know, Donald Trump wrote some of these checks to his own lawyer in 2017. That's 7 years ago. That's a long time ago. It makes it very hard to defend yourself, right? Who the hell remembers? Where's the documents, the check stub from 2017? Anyway, what they did is they came up with a new law that said, for the next 30 days, you can only worship the king and nobody else. Well, Daniel had a habit of worshiping God and came out every day to worship God. And then they were like, well, he's violating the law. He's violating the law. And they were very clever. They made this law in such a way that it could not be revoked. Actually, here. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open upon Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, so or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making this petition 3 times a day. Then, as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to they trapped the king. Recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So they threw him into the damn lion's pit, lion's den. Daniel, because they invented a fake law, and then they caught him breaking that fake law. And the king, who, oh, by the way, is a little bit of a weakling here, because he's all distressed and worried and, you know, sorry about it, but he puts him in the lion den anyway. And guess what God does? He basically glues the lion shut. He glues their mouths shut. And they don't harm Daniel. And the next morning, the king comes down to the little lion's den that he's got going in his palace. And he sees, the king was very pleased and gave orders to Daniel to be taken out of the den because he knew that Daniel was alive. He couldn't sleep that night. The king arose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come to near to the den of Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice, and Daniel responded, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths." And everybody's happy except the satraps and the council and all that stuff. But guess how it all ends here in Daniel 6. Then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children and their wives, into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Yikes. So basically, the accusers are going to get theirs. One way or the other, they're going to get theirs. And they're going to be in trouble, big trouble, because God sees everything, and they see the corruption here. Too many weaklings are, I went to the Inner Circle dinner over the weekend with the political reporters of New York City. Some of them are very nice. I don't really fit in, but some of them are very nice. And I was talking to this one guy. I'm not going to tell you anything about his identity, but I said, hey, I got to run something by you. I got this theory about you political reporters. I didn't quite put it like that. But I noticed you were very gentle with Eric Adams during the campaign. You know, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of dirt on this guy. He was living in New Jersey. He was doing all this weird stuff. And you guys treated him like with kid gloves. You guys took care of him. But I noticed that Andrew Yang, the Asian guy who was running, I mean, you were relentless with him, picking on him, making fun of him. And I said, I got this crazy theory because the media in New York were comfortable picking on the Asian guy, but weren't comfortable picking on the black guy. And he's like, yeah, you got a point there. I thought there'd be a denial or something like that. No, there's a lot of truth to that because these reporters have to follow all of these weird unwritten rules about race and society and optics and who can say what. I mean, screw all that, right? But yeah, there's a great big game playing. And the idea that the media are giving us information that is somehow clean or unvarnished or untwisted or it. So we don't need them, by the way. You know, you can get this stuff for yourself, like these documents. You can watch them. You can. There's so much. They are putting themselves out of business. That was an eye opener. I was expecting a little bit of a denial. All right. Wait, I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
I'm looking at some reports from inside the courtroom, and I'm liking what I'm seeing from the defense team. Really good stuff here. Let's see what happened here. I wish I had the entire opening statement, but I don't. I'm going to have to rely because it's the fake news and the courts, and they're hooking up the fake news. So the New York Times, you know, they give a front row seat. Michael Colangelo, one of the prosecutors for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. That's that guy who used to work at the Department of Justice. The number three ranking guy at the Department of Justice is now hanging around the tombs. They, you know, the Manhattan DA's office, it's so ugly and dirty and dark, they call it the tombs, like you're in a tomb. So he went from the Department of Justice in Washington to hang around the tombs. This is a guy is basically a Trump chaser, right? You're a hurricane chaser. He's a Trump chaser. And this is the link between him and Biden. This case in Biden. Matthew Colangelo, one of the prosecutors for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, told the jury in his opening statement that the case was about a criminal conspiracy and a cover-up. Again, writing checks to your lawyer. Okay. Describing how Mr. Trump, his longtime counsel, Michael D. Cohn, and Mr. Pecker, the National Enquirer guy, engaged in a strategy to catch and kill negative stories. The lead lawyer for Mr. Trump, Todd Blanche, insisted in his opening statement that the former president had done nothing wrong. President Trump is innocent. President Trump did not commit any crimes. The case centers on the $130,000 hush money payment that Mr. Cohen made to the porn star, Stormy Daniels. Prosecutors say he was reimbursed by Mr. Trump and Trump falsified business records to conceal his conduct. Mr. Trump's willingness to go to the trouble, Mr. Colangelo said, showed just how important it was for him to hide the true nature of Cohen's illegal payment to Ms. Daniels and the overall election conspiracy that they had launched. I love what Blanche said here. Mr. Blanche, who's Trump's lawyer, attacked Mr. Cohen's credibility, saying that his livelihood hinges on attacking the former president, and insisted that prosecutors were attempting to present perfectly legal activities, such as entering into non-disclosure agreements, in a negative light. I have a spoiler alert. There's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election, Mr. Blanche said. It's called democracy. I love that. It's every time they say that, oh, he's trying to influence an election. It sounds so sinister. Everything you did from combing your hair to opening your mouth is to try to win the election, influence it. They put something sinister on this idea as if it were a crime. You will learn that it's not. I like that. Let's see here. I can't believe this is happening. Wasn't Ray Kelly, my dad, great here on this? If convicted, he could face up to 4 years in prison. Now, you heard about this crazy guy, Benny Thompson, who was the head, the number two Democrat. No, the number one Democrat on the January 6th committee. He's trying to pass a law that says President Trump, if convicted, and he just might be, and this crazy judge just might sentence him to prison, that Donald Trump in prison will not have, if this law passes, Secret Service. He'll lose his Secret Service protection. Now, what in the hell? How could they possibly justify that? Anyway, I mean, they want Donald Trump dead. More on Benny Thompson later. Just, we can't take our eye off the ball. America is coming apart at the seams. It is Joe Biden's, not only his fault, his design, and the people who own him. This is what they want. They want to dismantle America. They want it to be different from how it is now in the worst possible way. They want to throw out the Constitution. How are they going to do that? They're going to bring in people who are not assimilating into our culture, who don't support the Constitution, who aren't loyal to the Constitution. Joe Biden isn't loyal to the Constitution. Hell, he's doing everything he can to subvert it. They want to rearrange America, make it into a socialist state dictated by race, and we can't let them get away with it.
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, what language is this person speaking to me? My two-year-old, what is going on? I think she's up to speed verbally. I hope. I don't care. I love the way she sounds, even though it doesn't make any sense. Go ahead.
What?
Who?
It's okay. Look at the clouds.
What?
No. It's okay. I'm in there.
Are you hiding in the bed? Are you hiding in the bed?
Yeah. A bird.
Who?
A dirt.
What?
A dirt.
I don't understand.
A dirt.
Say it. Yeah.
Well, it's baby talk for you. There are times where she makes more sense, a lot more sense. But whatever idea she was trying to convey was a sophisticated one, and I couldn't quite figure out. The language is a little bit beyond her, but, you know, she says other things, you know. Daddy naughty. That's one her mother taught her. So there's that. All right, let's go back just one more time. Man, it's really wild. This Michael Cohen indictment. I was right. He pleaded guilty 9 days after the FBI raids his house. How about that, huh? How about the good old FBI, Friends of Biden Incorporated, raiding the president's lawyer's house in 2018? That's a corrupt act right there. You know what that is? That's trying to influence an election. Corruptly, the FBI is not supposed to be meddling around with this. And what the hell do they care? What the hell do they care what's in the memo portion of a check? This was not. it's you know, the one thing that Cohen did right here is he portrayed this money as income to the authorities, to the tax authorities. That was not his want. All right. I got a table here, courtesy of the federal government. Let's see here. It shows how much money that he was not giving to the federal government. Listen to this. In 2012, how much money did Michael Cohen hide from the federal government? $893,000. He did not report that. The government lost out on almost $200,000 in taxes. In 2013, he did not report $500,000 in income. And somehow the government was owed $300,000 on that money. In 2014, Michael Cohen did not report $670,000 in income. And the IRS lost out on $232,000. And then in 2015, it's kind of amazing that this is a country where a guy like Michael Cohen can make this kind of money, you know, that in addition to the other money, I mean, this is the money that it was coming in. Well, then again, these are illegal proceeds in a way. $969,000 he made in the tax year 2015, did not report it. $375,000 we, the taxpayers, lost out on, you know, the IRS. And then 2016, $1.1 million. He decided not to report, and it was reportable income, and he didn't report it, and the tax authorities lost out on $395,000. Now, also in 2016, he's doing the weirdest possible thing imaginable, a lawyer tape recording his own client. Now, we have this thing already, right? It's fascinating to me that he's still like trying to be on Trump's good side. Why would he do this? I think it was all a setup. It was somehow... And Trump does not say, can you figure out what he said that's wrong? The only thing that's wrong here is the fact that this recording exists, that Michael Cohen made it. Go ahead.
Let me know what's happening, okay? Oh. Maybe because of this, it would be better if you didn't go, you know, maybe because.
So there are some nasty words here. We'll bleep them out. I even love the nuance. It's like he's talking like he's taking in information. Oh. Well, maybe then you shouldn't go because of this. The nuance, the kind of the situational kind of adjustments that have to be done in politics. Maybe you shouldn't go because of this. All right. Keep going. Yeah. He's wrapping up the phone call.
I think this goes away quickly. I think it's probably better. Do the Charleston thing. Just this time. In 2 weeks it's fine. I think right now it's better.
There are some bad words here, okay. So heads up.
You take care of yourself. Thanks, Pam.
Pam Bondi.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. So long, bye. What's up, Mike?
Great poll, by the way. Seen it. Great poll.
Making progress.
Big time.
And you guys are good guys.
Oh, Pastor Scott?
No, Pastor Scott. What's happening?
Oh, no. He's,
can stop. We use him? Great poll, by the way. Great poll. He comes in there. Great poll. All right, maybe it's great poll. Also sounds a little bit like he's sucking up to the boss, right? Great poll, by the way. Great poll. He's recording his own client. This, Why hasn't this been pointed out? Why is this is like accepted? This recorder is his own iPhone in his own pocket recording his own client. Keep going.
We told him to... Well,
I don't mean that. Mark Burns, can we use him?
No.
Richard Lefrak, sorry. Richard Lefrak just called. We have a chance. He had an idea for you.
Okay. So we got served from the New York Times. I told you this. We were regarding to unseal the divorce papers with Ivana. We're fighting it. Kasowitz is going to...
You should never be able to get that.
Never. Kasowitz doesn't ever
be able. Hey, stop for a second. The New York Times wanted to get the divorce records, you know, the court documents, whatever, all the, you know, between Ivana. You know what they should actually ask for? It's really juicy. The divorce records between Jill Biden and Bill Stevenson, her husband, the guy she cheated on to be with Joe Biden. And Joe Biden took revenge on this guy because Jill lost so badly in that case that Joe, for the next like 15, 20 years, was out to try to ruin Bill Stevenson. All right, keep going.
Give me your coat, please.
They don't have a legitimate purpose.
And you have a woman that doesn't want to see you.
Correct.
So you've been handling
Yes, and it's all...
That's been going on for a while.
For about 2-3 weeks now.
All you have to do is delay it for...
Even after that, it's not going to ever be opened. There's no purpose for it. Told you about Charleston. I need to open up a company for the transfer of all of that info regarding our friend David, you know, that I'm going to do that right away. I've actually come up and I've spoken to Alan Weisselberg about how to set the whole thing up with funding. And it's all the stuff. All the stuff, because you know you never know where that company, you never know where he's going to be. Correct. So I'm all over that, and I spoke to Alan about it. When it comes time for the financing,
stop.
Which will be,
he's all over that. He's setting this stuff up like lawyers do. By the way, you trust lawyers to do the right thing, and also you trust lawyers to be discreet. Lawyers don't put what they're doing on Twitter. There are all kinds of things, confidentiality agreements. This is totally fine. Donald, this is non-criminal activity. It was introduced to the world like, oh, my God, smoking gun evidence of what? Nothing. And does Donald Trump seem in the least bit perturbed or can I have a Coke, please? Did you hear that? All right, keep going.
What financing?
We'll have to pay you. So
No.
I got
Hey, Don, how are you?
That's it. And people got excited. Cash. Well, you know what? Check to me means cash, right? I mean, this doesn't mean a boatload of cash. When you're paying somebody cash, it's a check, right? That's a check is like cash. A check represents cash. I want cash. If you buy a house, cash. People do that, right? Do they show up with $500,000 in a suitcase, $1 million in a suitcase, $2 million, whatever the house costs? No, they write a check with cash. Cash is still king. Carmine, hello.
Hey, Greg. You said you opened your show with society is falling apart and America is disintegrating. I got a quick story about a kid yesterday at church. He's 10 years old, and he had a baseball game on Saturday that was rained out. And they rescheduled the game for Sunday. And his father asked him, hey, what do you want to do? And he said, you know what, Dad? I'm going to skip it. I'm doing the parking lot ministry tomorrow, and that's more important. Greg, that is part of the solution. It's in the parent's hands. If a parent doesn't put God first, a child is not going to put God first. And they're not going to do it as teenagers.
Now, hold on a second. This kid did not want to play baseball. Instead, he wanted to hang around some parking lot.
No. It was his game was rained out on Saturday, right?
And they rescheduled for Sunday, and he wanted to go to the parking lot. What?
No, he's in the parking lot at church. He works the parking lot at the church, and it's part of his job. He signed up as a volunteer, and he said that that's more important than a baseball game.
How many? What is he? Direct traffic? He's 10 years old. What's he doing in the parking lot that's so important?
He's under supervision. It's a beautiful thing to encourage a child.
Well, I know, but I don't want to encourage a child to just like it sounds like make work stuff. We're adults. We know how to park a car. What do we need a kid for?
No, the parking lot gets a little hectic. It's with people coming in.
I know, but you can't have a 10-year-old kid in the middle of it directing traffic. Get one of those security cards or something like that.
Why are you saying that? He's not. He's
hey, you know, listen, I don't know. I don't know, Carmine. I know you want to make me feel like it's all there's all hope and stuff like that, and there's hope. But on this one little issue, I think we could have had the kid play baseball instead of hanging around the parking lot. Why don't you make him an altar boy or something cool?
Greg, you talked about the other day the disintegration of society, you know, with taking prayer out of schools. You know what?
What's wrong with you?
This is you're not going to get a kid at 15 years old, an 18-year-old, and go to college and listen to their professors to have a relationship with God. It's got to start at an early age, Greg.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, let's face it. This kid's going to hit puberty, and all kinds of things are going to start happening, and, you know, I have a feeling he's not going to be showing up to do the parking lot when he's 15.
No, listen, would it help you if, you know, his father was on the force?
I'm sure he's a great kid. I'm just saying, like, in this one thing, I don't like the idea of a kid hanging around a parking lot and when he could be playing baseball.
Listen,
Carmine, we got to be real with each other. Look, that's how I feel. I mean, I love it that he's getting close to God. I, you know, we get close to God. I ran away from God for a good chunk of my life. I was introduced. My parents did all the right things, but I knew better and I went on my own way. So I hope this kid has it all figured out. Hanging around the parking lot doesn't sound like it's all that. And oh, by the way, when you start doing all that volunteer work, you know what you start to do? You start to think, look at me, I'm a hero. Look at all this volunteering I'm doing, you know? You start to get a little bit big for your britches. Let the kid play. Mimi, hello.
Hi, Greg. There's an unholy alliance, anti-Semitic alliance between Obama and Biden has magnified it. When Obama ran, before he ran for president, he was a friend of one of the professors at Columbia University. They had a party for this professor. He was leaving. There were so many anti-Semitic statements. They had a video. They gave it to the LA Times, and they sat on it. So what do you expect for Biden? He's so anti-Semitic. There's women who wanted to go to school today, to college, but they closed the Columbia University down. We need the National Guard. We need a president that supports Jewish people here.
We do. We do. Absolutely. Hey, that tape, you say the LA Times is sitting on it. What, Obama went to a party for some professor and they were saying anti-Semitic things in the tape?
Yes, they had a video.
I know. Have you seen the video? The LA Times still have it? What's up with the video?
I don't know. They didn't talk about it after, 2008.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I heard a lot of, who knows? This Bill Ayers thing. Yeah, Obama hung around with a lot of radicals, right? Reverend Wright, Bill Ayers, you know, who was known for bombing the Pentagon and other things. An amazing guy. So I would put nothing past Barack Obama. Mimi, thank you. We'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Some other little odds and ends. Mike Douglas, the actor, used to be cool, has now come out for Joe Biden. Gordon Gekko. That was a long time ago. And talk about some hideously biased reporting regarding our friends in Israel. CBS News, the nerve of them to have this reporter out there completely one-sided. It's almost like October 7th did not happen. Imagine a Taylor Swift concert, right? And Al-Qaeda raided the concert and started killing people at the concert. Imagine if that happened in America. I think we'd be justified in an aggressive response, right? But Israel somehow is not, and people are trying to pretend that October 7th did not happen. This is that Margaret Brennan person who seems kind of very strange to me for a lot of different reasons. She's on Face the Nation, and they throw to their reporter some woman named Deborah Potta. She's over there in the region. Cut 14.
Overnight, Israeli Defense Forces launched a deadly series of airstrikes on the city of Rafah in southern Gaza. But there's also
an uptick. Even the way she says Rafah. Isn't that Rafah? Rafah. She's one-sided. The whole damn system over there, one-sided. Anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. Keep going.
Of violence in the West Rafah. Bank. Our Deborah Pata reports.
Rafah.
Every 10 minutes, a child is killed in Gaza, says the United Nations. That's nearly 15,000 children in almost 7 months.
All right, stop. Right there. You know, the United Nations, you know who they cite? You know who the United Nations uses as a source? Hamas! They're playing you, you fool. They're playing you, and they're lying to you. Keep going.
Yeah, paramedics rushed to save the injured after yet another Israeli airstrike in Rafah.
Rafah.
For this little girl, it was too late. Her grief-stricken father is inconsolable. He is not alone. In this room, there are only the bodies of children.
All right, stop. You see? You see what's going on here? Now, number one, it's not beyond Hamas to use children as human shields. It's also not beyond Hamas to stage things. I've seen it before where they have people, you know, with little sheets over them like they're dead. And then all of a sudden you see somebody get up and walk out. I guess you would call it a deep fake. Now, this person's all in with the propaganda. Keep going.
Overnight, at least 10 more names added to that endless list of horror. The youngest just 2 years old. Our CBS News team in Gaza reports that among the dead was a pregnant woman. Miraculously, doctors saved her baby girl.
All right, it goes on and on and on like this. With October 7th just forgotten. And what happened there? Said it a million times. This stuff, it's horrible. It does happen. There is collateral damage. Women, children, innocent people are harmed and killed in war. It does happen. Civilized countries seek to minimize it, seek to eliminate it, but you can't totally eliminate it. Uncivilized countries, savages like Hamas, well, that was their target at the get-go. Women and children, that's who they actually targeted. But somehow this is all overlooked by CBS News. And Margaret Brennan and her Rafah. We got to make a couple of quick rounds here. Sandra, hello.
Hello, Greg. Greg, over the weekend, my friend shared with me that her daughter was going to Columbia for her master's. Normally, I would have been so happy for her, but I was scared for her daughter's life. And that's very sad that we've come to this in our country. And I was, you know, reading today, and I learned that Barnard, Israel Hirst, that's the daughter of Ilhan Omar. She was arrested at Barnard because she refused to cooperate with the cops because she was protesting. So at least this school, Laura Rosenberg, she's a legal scholar and ninth president there. She's not tolerating this. So at least we have someone good who's doing the right thing.
I'd like to know more about it. I think the administration, all of these people have allowed this problem to fester for a long, long, long time. Sandra, thank you very much. Barbara.
Hi, Greg. Listening to everything that's going on with Trump in court, I have a quote from John Jay about our courts, and he was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. John Jay said, justice is indiscriminately due to all without regard to numbers, wealth, or rank. So again, our founders intended the justice system to be fair, to be impartial, justice to be blind, and to weigh the evidence impartially.
Oh, man, we were so blessed, this country. John Jay, could you send that along to me? And we're so blessed by you, Barbara. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.